It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The city of Dallas says it's completed security upgrades for all of the city's outdoor warning sirens. The upgrades followed the malfunction of about 150 sirens across Dallas in April, resulting in them blaring for about an hour and a half. The incident sparked calls to 911 and a bevy of worried posts on social media. City officials say the security upgrades were completed late last month and that the system now has constant encrypted communications. The city tests its system the first Wednesday of each month. The next scheduled test of the system, weather permitting, will be this Wednesday at noon. The 85th Texas Legislature wrapped up last week, and we're taking a look at some of the bills that lawmakers passed. Today, bills related to law enforcement and criminal justice. KERA's Christopher Connolly starts off with an effort to reduce the number of poor people who end up in jail because they can't pay fees on traffic tickets and low-level misdemeanors.
Days before the end of the legislative session, Houston Democrat Sinfronia Thompson offered her colleagues this hypothetical. "You've got a driver," she said. "They've got a busted taillight, and they can't afford to fix it until they get their next paycheck."
But before they're able to do that, they get a ticket. And then they're not able to pay the ticket, so they got a taillight busted on their car, and they end up in jail anyway.
Now, you can't be sent to jail in Texas for a broken taillight. But you can be sent to jail if you fail to pay the ticket for the broken taillight. That's a reality for too many Texans, Thompson said. And this bill pushes judges to consider whether a defendant can actually pay their fines or fees in the first place. And it tries to make sure people know they have the right to ask for alternatives like community service if they can't.
They're not getting off scot-free. We're getting something for something.
It's not clear how many people go to jail in Texas solely because they can't afford to pay fees or fines for tickets and low-level crimes, but advocates say that none should. Back in the 70s, the Supreme Court ruled that locking people up when they can't afford to pay a fine, debtor's prison, basically, is unconstitutional.
But the problem has been that implementing that Supreme Court decision just hasn't happened in a systematic way.
Rebecca Bernhardt heads the Texas Fair Defense Project.
So we still have a whole lot of courts that follow practices that, for all practical purposes, result in people who just can't pay going to jail because they just can't pay.
Bernhardt says there's more work to do to stop this entirely. Since the bill's passage, she says she's seen headlines announcing an end to debtors' prisons in Texas. In reality, she says it's more like Texas took a small step in the right direction. The bill's headed to Governor Greg Abbott for a signature, along with two bills addressing sexual assaults on college campuses. For more on those, here's the Texas Station Collaborative's Jen Rice.
Reducing sexual assault on campuses became a top priority for the legislature in response to Baylor University's ongoing high-profile lawsuits. An upsetting new study by the University of Texas at Austin also made national headlines when 15% of female students reported that they had been raped. Legislators say it's time for a cultural change on campuses. The bills passed this session aim to help campuses increase the number of victims reporting assaults so schools can get a better understanding and address the problem. Austin Democrat Kirk Watson says some students don't come forward to report assaults if they're afraid of being punished for a different reason. Watson's bill, SB 966, defends students against an underage drinking charge, but only when it's linked to the incident.
What this does is it ensures that the defense isn't abused, and the intended purpose is to remove a reporting barrier for young people who suffer from sexual assault.
SB 966 has already been signed into law, effective September 1st. Another Watson bill, SB 968, will require colleges and universities to set up online anonymous reporting.
It's a reporting requirement that makes it easier so that we get more reporting.
The bill is now on Governor Abbott's desk, waiting to be signed. A related bill that would have created a stricter definition of consent died in the legislature. I'm Jen Rice in Austin with
Christopher Connolly in Fort Worth.
There's a thriving lowrider car culture in North Texas. These are large cars that ride low to the ground, and they're popular among some motorists. Their candy paint, hydraulic systems, and colorful designs make them stand out. These cars also can attract negative attention. But as KERA's Jessica Diaz-Hurtado reports, one group in Dallas is working to shatter stereotypes.
I'm going to show you what it's about to be in a lowrider car. We're going to hit rock bottom, okay?
Jimmy Lopez is behind the wheel of his 1972 Buick Riviera, hitting the ground to get low and to go slow. He's restored this classic car. It's long, sleek, and shiny orange. A chandelier sways as he drives through a park in Oak Cliff. These lowrider cars tend to get a bad rap. Just ask the owners.
They stereotype us as gangsters or, you know, lowlives.
Drug dealers.
They're lowriders, they're cholos, and they're trouble.
That's Sofia Barron, Michael Bush, and Sonia Lopez. They're part of the United Lowriders Association. It's a group of car lovers across Dallas-Fort Worth. They formed 15 years ago to create community and to support each other and to challenge the stereotypes some have about lowriders, stereotypes that are found in movies and TV shows. For Sofia Barron, lowrider culture is more than just cars.
It's about family. It's about us all being together, showing our children what the car clubbing is about. It's really an art. It's an art form. It's a way for you to express yourself. It's a way for you to be able to kind of go and de-stress.
During the week, Barron's a nurse, and on the weekends, she cruises her sporty, bright red Impala. She's loved hot rods and speed ever since she was a kid. Her car is her identity.
It represents you and who you are. It's your personality. It's, you know, it's your history. It's your story.
And this kind of history is passed down. Before they can even drive, kids are welcomed into this culture. They start out with lowrider bicycles, customized bikes inspired by the lowrider cars. This is what Jimmy Lopez started with. He's the leader of the United Lowriders Association. For him, this culture created his love story. It's how he met his wife, Sonia.
I was still in high school. I was 17. She was 16. Well, I had my lowrider bike, and I was trying to get with her and see her, and I didn't have a car then, and so I got on my bike, and
I'm like, it's pretty far.
Rode all the way from North Dallas all the way to Oak Cliff, and then she wanted to go back over there, so I gave her a ride all the way back over there.
So we crossed the levee, and he was pedaling, standing up, and I had to hold my ankles.
She was holding her legs up. Her knees were barely touching the concrete, but we made it.
They also made a family, and they raised their son, Jimmy Lopez IV, in the car culture.
So since I was 2 or 3, I've been riding in his backseat until I grew up and got my own.
He drives his 1985 Monte Carlo convertible. It's bright blue with wavy and red-white stripes. And in the interior, there's a special message.
If you look at my backseat, it says my family comes first. I got that embroidered in my seat.
For the Lopez family, the Lowriders Association is a family. They gather at special events like this one on Easter at Flagpole Hill Park in Dallas. Hundreds of people are hanging out, grilling, and cruising their cars. During the holidays, they organize toy drives for hospitals and the Dallas Police Department. And they organize benefits for cancer patients, something Jimmy Lopez knows firsthand.
My wife had cancer. She's a survivor right now. Other car clubs in the ULA got together and they did a car show for us and in honor of us. And everything that was made at that car show went to us. I mean, that's why you do benefits. You help out when you can.
His lowrider family has kept him going. So has his old school Buick Riviera. It's taught him some lessons that life isn't about speed.
If you see, I don't have no speedometer right here. People always ask me, hey, how do you know how fast you're going? I don't need to know because I'm going cruising. I'm low and slow.
For Jimmy Lopez, life is about taking it slow with style. Jessica Diaz Hurtado, KERA News.
All my friends, you're the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
Jessica Diaz Hurtado is an NPR Kroc Fellow. As part of her fellowship, she's spending several months reporting at KERA. Want to see pictures of the cars featured in Jessica's story? Check them out at our website, keranews.org. And coming up tomorrow morning, the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition is underway in Fort Worth. It's considered one of the world's top classical musical contests. While competitors are in town, the Cliburn organizes something called the Adopt a Competitor program. It connects schools with the pianists. KERA's Bill Zeeble takes us to a school that's embraced a young Russian pianist. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance rain with low around 69. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high around 90. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.